Good day. This is Greg with the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. Beginning with the commercial news. District 118 to hear about summer programs by Carol Rome. Danville District 118 school board members Wednesday night will hear about new enrichment programming opportunities available to district students this summer. We are trying to come up with summer programming that is academic in the morning and more of an enrichment program in the afternoon, Superintendent Alicia Gaddis said. District teachers have been encouraged to share a skill or a hobby with students as part of the enrichment programming to be offered in the afternoon on the same days as summer school classes, which will take place in the morning from June 11th to July 20th at Mark Denham and Southwest Elementary Schools, Southview Upper Elementary School, Northridge Middle School, Danville High School, and Kenneth D. Bailey Academy. No summer programming is scheduled for July 4th. If they share an activity they love, it will build relationships with the students, Gaddis said of the teachers. Some of the summertime offerings will include golf, swimming, hiking, fishing, and cooking. For the swimming activity, Gaddis said the district has partnered with the Danville Family YMCA. We will be providing breakfast, lunch, and snacks, she added. In the morning, summer school classes will focus on remediation for students who need to catch up, as well as provide opportunities for students who want to get ahead in their credits. Most important, Gaddis said, is that summer school classes and the enrichment programming will be free and transportation will be free. The Board of Education is not charging for summer school this year for the first time, she said. We are using federal Title I funds to pay for it. The district also has worked with one of its food vendors to supply a meal bag of non-perishable items on Fridays for students who attend the summer programming, which would be similar to Rose Gates' backpack program that doesn't run during the summer. Also on Wednesday, board members will consider approving the curriculum for a new dual-credit Principles of Business course that would be offered as an elective in the fall at DHS. The new course would follow and meet the criteria for Danville Area Community College's Introduction to Business course. Upon successful completion of the course, the DHS student would earn 2 high school credits and 3 college credits from DACC. The course would offer first-hand exposure to college-level work while still in high school and provide a chance for students to complete his or her bachelor's degree faster and fulfill state-mandated consumer education for DHS juniors and seniors. Consider approving a request that advanced placement and dual enrollment classes carry more weight than honors and standard placement classes. AP and academic dual enrollment classes would be weighted on a 5-point scale. The initiative would begin with the class of 2022. Also, consider entering into a cooperative agreement with the Danville Family YMCA to supply meals for their 2018 summer programs. YMCA staff members would pick up the meals daily at DHS and deliver them to their site. The amount the district charges the YMCA for the meals would cover the costs incurred by the district, and the program would also provide work for some of the district's food service employees over the summer. Also, consider granting permission to hire BLDD Architects of Champaign to determine the feasibility of having STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, labs in the district. Also, hear the results of a survey of parents, students, and staff at Southview Upper Elementary and Northridge Middle Schools, DHS, and Bailey Academy about the district's dress code. Also, hear that Northridge Middle School's 8th grade promotion has been set for 6 p.m. Thursday, May 24th, at the David S. Palmer Arena. District 118 won't see new money from state aid reform, by Carol Rome. Several hundred Illinois school districts, including Danville District 118, will share about $395 million in funding that was approved last summer as part of the state budget. The Illinois State Board of Education sent vouchers late last week to the Comptroller's Office, which will distribute the money to more than 800 school districts. Although District 118 is supposed to receive $2.1 million more in state funding due to a change in the way the state funds education, district officials say the new formula for funding schools statewide is misleading. "It's very deceiving to say we're getting extra money," business director Heather Smith said Monday. Superintendent Alicia Geddes said, "We will get a little more money, but it's being reallocated from special education and lumped together as general state aid." The appropriations originate from the state's new evidence-based funding formula, intended to provide a more equitable funding structure. Smith, however, said the evidence-based formula shifts funding away from existing categoricals, which are separate reimbursements from the state that district receives for special education and other services. The four areas where money is being shifted away from are special education personnel reimbursements, special education funding for children requiring special education services, special education summer school, and state-funded bilingual English language learner education. "They're moving it, the money, into evidence-based funding," Smith said. She said the district expects to receive the same amount of state aid as it usually does because of the new evidence-based funding amount encompasses the four categoricals that used to be separate. As for receiving any new additional state funding, Smith said the district won't be seeing any. "At this point, we're flat. It's a wash," she said. Under the school funding reform plan, school districts will continue to receive the same state assistance they previously received. The new formula is designed to ensure the most state assistance will be directed to school districts most in need. The distribution is based on detailed enrollment figures, district-specific student learning needs, available local resources, and other data. Historical Group Honors Mervis by Mary Wyckoff. A champion of preserving the area's history will be honored later this month by the Ileana Genealogical and Historical Foundation. Sybil Mervis is the first recipient of the Historical Preservation Award presented by the newly formed foundation. A banquet to honor her will be April 26th at the Turtle Run Banquet Center, 332 East Liberty Lane. A social time starts at 6 p.m., followed by dinner at 6:30 p.m., and an award presentation about 7:30 p.m. In addition to the award presentation, several people will speak, and Mervis will read an excerpt from her book, In the Middle. Master of Ceremonies will be Bob Randall, president of the foundation. "I'm very complimented," Mervis said about the award. She added that, while she appreciates it, she hasn't researched or written as much as other people in town. Mervis said of the IGHS, "It's a wonderful resource for our community. They provide a real service in the community for those of us who don't want to do research or learn about our family history." Mark Denman, IGHS Foundation Vice President, said Mervis always has been supportive of IGHS, as well as many other entities in the county. Sybil Mervis's contributions in the area of historical preservation have been integrated with her decades-long involvement as a tireless advocate for the Danville Public Library, the Vermilion County Museum, and local education, he said. She has devoted many hours of volunteer time and generously supported these areas over the years. Melanie Stevenson, recording secretary of the foundation, said of Mervis, "She's quite the preservationist, as well as an historian. She's deserving of the award." Denman noted that Mervis has written a number of books and booklets, and he enjoyed reading her 2015 book, In the Middle. The book details her youth growing up in Bloomington, in the middle of the United States, to a middle-class family in the middle of the century. Mervis moved to Danville 60 years ago when she married Lewis Mervis. He died on October 2017. She has been an active community volunteer and leader in many areas, along with her husband, for the last six decades. This recognition highlights her steadfast commitment and outstanding accomplishments regarding historical preservation on the local and family level. An author, writer, and memoirist, Mervis has published a number of books, articles, and pamphlets on local and family history. She wrote A Great Depression Courtship about the early lives and courtship of her parents, Gertrude Miller and David Stern. She painstakingly researched the histories of the Jewish communities of Danville and Attica, Indiana, which were published in various media, including the Heritage Magazine of the Vermilion County Museum Society in 2001 to 2002, booklets, and a chapter of History of Fountain County, Indiana in 2013 about Jewish families in Attica. Another article will appear in January in the Indiana Jewish Historical Society Journal. As a testament to her research skills, Mervis also tracked down the daughter of Nathan Lager, who built a wooden Torah ark, a special cabinet designed to hold Torah scrolls, in 1914, which was displayed in the local synagogue before it was closed. She went to California in 2014 to present the Art Deco-style cabinet to a synagogue. To learn more, go to https://www.chabad.org and type Nathan Lager into the search box. Researching the history of her family's farm property near Potomac, Mervis wrote What the River Hid, detailing the story of the Menely Mill on the Middle Fork River, which was published in The Heritage in 2010. She has written multiple pamphlets on family history as well as a biography of her late mother-in-law, The Life of Martha Mervis, in commemoration of her 95th birthday in 1999. She researched the history of the Danville Public Library, which was published in articles in The Heritage in 1983. She also co-wrote two local civic booklets, Know Your City in 1983 and Danville Digest of Local Government in 1963. The foundation, in its first year, was formed to support the IGHS, located in an 1892 building at 215 West North Street. Each year, the foundation will recognize a deserving individual who has made significant contributions to preserve local history. IGHS's aim is to promote and preserve local and family history of the Ileana area, as well as to make it more accessible to the public. The award presentation will be scheduled for every spring, and the foundation is open to suggestions for future recipients. Three Danville residents arrested for battering, robbing man, by Brianna Kirkham. Three people were arrested Friday after robbing and battering a man at gunpoint, according to Vermilion County Captain Mike Hartshorn. Around 4:50 p.m., a man appeared at a residence bleeding and asked the occupants to call 911. According to the individual, he was riding with three people he was familiar with when a firearm was observed. An altercation began, and the victim was battered, having items taken from him by the suspects. The victim, 32, of Danville, was taken to OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center for treatment to his injuries. Police located the suspects and took them into custody in relation to the crime. According to court records, Kevin M. Humphreys, Jr., 20, of Danville, is charged with two counts of armed robbery, one with a weapon other than a firearm, and one for indication of a firearm, and four counts of aggravated battery. These charges are Class X, Class 1, and Class 3 felonies, respectively. Shelby L. Hayner, 19, and Jennifer R. Marks, 29, both of Danville, are also charged with two counts of armed robbery, one with a weapon other than a firearm, and one for indication of a firearm, Class X and Class 1 felonies, respectively. Each suspect has a bond amount set at $200,000, and their arraignments are scheduled for 10:30 a.m. Friday. This is believed to be an isolated incident, Hartshorn said. The crime was once being investigated in relation to several recent armed robberies at Danville businesses, including Phillips 66 on South Bowman and Burger King on East Main, but Hartshorn said that the connection has been ruled out. Moving to obituaries for Tuesday, April 10th. Marcia Ruth Gillis, 77, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at 11:20 p.m. Saturday, April 7th, 2018. A celebration of life service will be at noon Thursday, April 12th, at Georgetown's First Church of Christ, 503 North Main Street, Georgetown. Officiating will be Pastor Phil Miller. Burial will be in Woodlawn Cemetery in Indianola. Visitation will be 11 a.m. to noon at First Church of Christ. Memorial donations may be made to the First Church of Christ Georgetown Food Pantry. Please join March's family in sharing memories, photos, and videos on her tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Janice Reeder. Janice Reeder, 71, of Danville, passed away Friday, April 6, 2018, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center. A memorial celebration of life service will be held at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 10, 2018, at Farmers Chapel United Methodist Church in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, have been entrusted with arrangements. Per Janice's wishes, cremation rites have been accorded. Memorial donations may be made to Fair Hope Ministry at 908 May Street in Danville, Illinois. Lowell Austin Smith. Lowell Austin Smith passed away in the home that he built near Bismarck on April 7, 2018, with his loving wife by his side. Visitation will be Monday, April 9th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street, Danville. Services will be Tuesday, April 10th, at 10 a.m. at Pape's. Private family graveside to follow at Walnut Corner Cemetery. Messages and memories may be left on our website at www.papefuneral.com or on the Pape Family Funeral Home Facebook page. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Riley Children's Hospital or the donor's choice. Connie Gallagher Green. Connie Gallagher Green, 70, of Tilton, passed away peacefully in her home Sunday, April 8, 2018, after a short battle with cancer. A celebration of Connie's life will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday, April 12th, at the Tilton Community Center. Burial will be at 9 a.m. Friday, April 13th, at Greenwood Cemetery. The family would like to thank Carl Hospice for the compassionate care that allowed her to remain home throughout her illness. Rortvedt Funeral Service and Crematory in Tilton is assisting the family. Rose Marie Bradford. Rose Marie Bradford, 85, of Danville, passed away at 12:28 a.m. Monday, April 9, 2018, at Champaign County Nursing Home, Urbana. A celebration of Rose Marie's life will be at 10 a.m. Friday, April 13, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion, Danville. Officiating will be Father Stephen Loftus. A visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 12th, at the funeral home with a Catholic rosary at 4:30 p.m. She will be laid to rest in Resurrection Cemetery. Please join the family in sharing memories, photos, and videos on her tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Mary Bell Luton. Mary Bell Hatton Luton, 89, a former Danville resident recently residing in Lafayette, Indiana, passed away at Signature Healthcare Center, Lafayette, at 11:15 a.m. Thursday, April 5th, 2018. Friends may call at Sunset Memorial Park Chapel from noon until services at 1 p.m. Central Daylight Time, Saturday, April 14th, with Reverend Ann Schwartz officiating. Burial will follow in Sunset Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the American Heart Association or the American Alzheimer's Association. Condolences may be sent online to www.mousefuneralhome.com. Patricia A. Patty Green. Patricia A. Green, 78, of Danville, passed away at 2:23 a.m., April 9, 2018, at OSF Sacred Heart Hospital in Danville, Illinois. A celebration of life will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, April 12, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Drew Menzer will officiate. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 11th at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made in Patty's name to the Danville Public Library Children's Programs. Please join Patricia's family in sharing memories on her tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Mildred Fern Kirkpatrick Huffman. Mildred Fern Kirkpatrick Huffman was born January 2, 1919, and passed away March 28, 2018. A celebration of life will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, April 14, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Pastor Bobby Blackard will officiate. Burial will be in Walnut Corner Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, if one should wish, a donation to the Angela Anderson Memorial SJS Research Fund at VUMC, care of Derek Brown, Vanderbilt University Medical Center, 3322 West End Avenue, Suite 900, Nashville, Tennessee, 37203. Stevens-Johnson syndrome takes lives whether they may be young or old. Please join Mildred's family in sharing memories, photos, and videos on her tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Nancy Martin. Nancy Martin, 68, of Westville, passed away at 3 p.m. Saturday, April 7, 2018, at her home. A celebration of Nancy's life will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, April 12th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, with Ryan Harris officiating. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 11th, at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Woodlawn Cemetery, Indianola. Please join her family in sharing memories through her tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Carol Carter. Carol J. Anderson Carter, 85, passed away Friday, April 6, 2018. A celebration of life service will be at 2 p.m. Wednesday, April 11th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Kent Tibben. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be prior to the service from 1 to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorial donations can be made to Sweet Adeline's or Trinity Lutheran Church. Please join Carol's family in sharing memories, photos, and videos on her tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Marcia Gillis. Marcia Gillis, 77, of Covington, Indiana, died at 11:20 p.m. Saturday, April 7, 2018, at the Waters of Covington, Covington, Indiana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Sunset Houghton Leisure Chapel, 200 East State Street, Georgetown. Deborah Mary. Deborah Renee Mary, 53, of Cayuga, Indiana, died at 1:15 p.m. Sunday, April 8, 2018, in Indianapolis. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robison Chapel, 103 Douglas Street, Catlin. Rhonda Schramm. Rhonda Schramm, 38, of Indianapolis, died at 11 a.m. Monday, April 2, 2018, at Community Hospital East, Indianapolis. Memorial services will be at noon Saturday at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hubston. Cremation rites have been accorded and burial will be held at a later date. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon Saturday at the funeral home. Moving on to the News Gazette. Looming decisions on coal ash ponds put river among most endangered, by Tracy Crane. Along with legendary American waterways like the Rio Grande, the Middle Fork River in east central Illinois is garnering national attention for making a national top 10 list, but not for its natural beauty. Illinois' only wild and scenic river has been ranked at number 9 on the list of America's most endangered rivers, the Washington, D.C.-based advocacy group American Rivers will announce today. The danger stems from 3 million cubic yards of coal ash, enough to fill the Empire State Building twice, that's left over from a shuttered coal-fired power plant and sits along the river's western bank. Until this week, the power plant site was owned by Dynegy Incorporated. On Monday, the Houston-based company finalized a merger with Vistra Energy Corp., based in Irving, Texas. American Rivers officials said that the Middle Fork was included on this year's list because critical decisions regarding the coal ash placed in three ponds over decades of plant operation will be made in 2018 by energy company owners in conjunction with the Illinois EPA. It's raising awareness to a national level, Jeff Comstedt, communications and outreach coordinator with Prairie Rivers Network, said during a Monday visit to the Middle Fork River, along with Lan Richard of Eco Justice Collaborative. And when you do something like that, it shows the importance of the issue to the people. The list highlights U.S. waterways facing important decisions in coming months, from draining wetlands on the Mississippi's Big Sunflower River to mining in Alaska's Bristol Bay. It's the 33rd year of the endangered list, which in the past has spurred action, something local activists hope will be the case for the Middle Fork. Reichert said the designation not only affirms the national significance of the Middle Fork, but the threat it faces from coal ash pollution. Each day, more and more residents of Vermilion County and East Central Illinois are telling the IEPA, "This is our river. We want it protected," he said, adding that the request to Governor Bruce Rauner and the IEPA is simple. As Vistra makes plans to leave the area, ask them to remove their coal ash from the floodplain of the river. Illinois taxpayers should not be left with this risk and liability. Dynegy spokesman David Byford said Monday that the former company and newly merged Vistra Energy were not aware of the American Rivers announcement and had no comment at this time. Dynegy closed the power plant in 2011. That same year, testing from 4 groundwater monitoring wells at the ash impoundments revealed levels of boron, manganese, and sulfate in excess of groundwater quality standards, resulting in the IEPA issuing violations in 2012. Since then, the company's long-term plan has been to cap and leave the coal ash pits. Dynegy completed some bank stabilization work in December 2016, plans similar work this year along another section of the bank, and says it intends to place the earthen caps over the ponds, leaving the ash in place forever. But local residents, public officials, and environmental organizations have long argued that the waste pits are leaching contaminants into the river, including arsenic, barium, boron, chromium, iron, lead, manganese, nickel, and sulfate. Those contaminants, said Andrew Rain, water resources engineer with Prairie Rivers, are known to cause birth defects, cancer, and neurological damage in humans, and can harm and kill wildlife, especially fish. And the river, as a Dynegy-funded engineering report has shown, is carving into the banks that hold the coal ash, erosion that Dynegy was addressing through its stream bank stabilization work. But river advocates argue that similar stabilization methods put in place decades ago eventually succumbed to the natural forces of the river and will again. This is a critical year for the people of this region to stand up for clean water and claim the kind of future they want for their river, said American Rivers' David Morris. This has been the Vermilion County News, read to you by Greg, and I look forward to reading again for you soon. Have a good day.